We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
3 o'clock hour. I don't think we're going to get to our NFL draft day stories this week. I just don't see how we would have any time. It's a shocking turn of events. But what I've discovered over the last few years is I enjoy talking. And I pay those back. Somebody texts in, speaking of me talking, somebody texts in and says, Hawk, you've been using the word cutesy for so long now. I think you believe it's an actual word. It's not. Stop it. Cutesy's a word, isn't it?
I don't know. I had to look this one up.
It's a word.
You tricked me. I say it now.
Cutesy, yeah. Cutesy. Pretty sure it's a word. Anyway.
It is.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't really matter.
It's a word.
Excessively cute.
Excessively cute, which is what I don't want the Dolphins to get on Thursday. Don't get cutesy. What I did not watch.
Movement, though. I like a little movement. I like when he
only if there's. I don't like it for the sake of being cutesy. Yeah. I like it if there's, you know, if there's a real, you know, they got cutesy with this Deion Jordan. You see what I'm saying here? They got a little cutesy. The Bears got cutesy with Mitch Trubisky. Right, like you're showing the whole world. Like we don't care if he's going to be available here, there, wherever. We're so certain he's the guy. We're going to get cutesy, and we're going to take him. And you know, and it's like, okay, don't get cutesy for the sake of being cutesy. Speaking of Bears quarterbacks, my son watched the pivot episode with Caleb Williams. I have not seen it, and you know, my son's a Bears fan. I got a text this morning from Sylvie at ESPN. Chicago.
Yeah.
And he said, let's see what he said. It says something along the lines of Crowder's interview with Caleb Williams was spectacular, something like that. Let me see.
He has it put together.
So I haven't watched it yet. So what did he say? Like was he aware that he's going to Chicago? Does he talk about being a Bear? And
yeah, it's just like I'm the best. I'm quarterback number one. And it's not, it's crazy. We talked about after the episode, Fred and Ryan, and myself, it doesn't come off as cocky, but it comes off as I've worked so hard my whole life. This is exactly where I should be. And it's exactly where I'm going to, you know, thrive at. His parents bought a gym they created Caleb Williams. He had a nutritionist at 10. He had a strength coach that he worked out at 5 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. every day since he was 10 to play quarterback. Like he was built into the number one pick of the draft. So it doesn't come off as like, I'm just the best player out there. It comes off as, bro, I've been working towards this for 15 years. It's exactly where I'm supposed to be. And it's exactly where I'm going. It's cool. It's cool what he says, but he's not like, he doesn't party. Like we joke about it. He has Lego parties. You know, the Legos. Him and his friends get together and put together these Lego mountains, these big, and they all like, they're like, it takes
like Solana five. With his pumpkin carving parties.
It's like that. Like, and I'm like, you have what parties? Lego parties? He was like, yeah, we all get together. We all take a book. We put together different levels and then we complete it together. And I'm like, bro, you live in a high rise in LA in the middle of the city. Why don't you go to a club and party? No, I'm fine. Like me and my friends, like different stuff. Like, he's not with the foolishness. I was trying to make him be foolish, and he's like, oh, no, I'm good. Don't worry about it. Like, that's not me. I think the Bears got him one, to be honest.
You came away impressed.
Oh, man, I was totally impressed. I thought it was like, oh, I've heard him talk, and I was like, okay, that's for the media. And now you're going to talk to him, you know, in a laid-back setting, like, you know, some ex-ball players, it's going to be different. Bro, Caleb Williams is put together. Like,
this guy's locked in.
He's legit, and he, like – He was like, you know, with I got to win Super Bowl. He's like, I play football to win championships. I don't play for stats. I don't play for recognition. He said, I play to win championships. Everything else falls under that. And that's like a saying in his book. How about this? He has his goal list as his screensaver on his phone. So every time he picks his phone up, he has his list of goals that he can look at. And we made fun of him. So a lot of you made a face. I was like, bro, like almost like that's kind of lame, bro. Like,
what are you?
Yeah. And he was like, no. He was like, every time I open my phone,
I need to be reminded of it. Because we look at our lock screens all day. Like, I look at my lock screen constantly.
I need to know why I'm on this earth as much as I possibly can. Like, he, bro, it's crazy. And I thought it was a ploy until I
talked to him. He's Drago. He is Drago. He is built to defeat Rocky.
That's it. I am here to be a Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterback. It's why I was boring.
And I carried a rhyme book for 4 years in high school. I didn't become Eminem.
But you didn't have any
rhymes.
Yeah, but
you didn't have anything in the rhyme book.
It was a ploy. Yours was a ploy.
You were the foolishness that he doesn't have time for.
Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. And Bob owns the Lightning, baby.
Bob owns the Lightning, baby. Put it on a billboard. All right, let's get a headline. Speaking of the Lightning, Panthers legend and broadcaster Billy Lindsay is going to join us this hour. Let's get some headlines with Alejandro Solana as we navigate through a Monday show with no sports, except for the Marlins play tonight.
Yeah, they do.
A little Marlins action, but then tomorrow, lock it in and throw away the knob. What they used to say about radio stations. Lock it in and throw away the knob.
Key.
Well, no, you didn't need a key to change your radio station. You didn't the knob.
Oh, I went doorknob in my mind.
Right.
I got you. That's special. Mm.
That's what they call it, the knob, to change like the dial
the
on radio,
the radio. The dial.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you'd throw away the dial, would you? Maybe you would.
Huh.
Lock it in and throw away the dial. I don't know. I feel like it was the knob.
The knob.
Knob.
A little Coke bottle top.
That thing? These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Game 2 is tomorrow between the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Bro, Panthers had the Lightning in hell for the first 14 minutes of that game. In hell. And they outshot them yesterday. I think the Lightning had 10 total shots in the first two periods. They couldn't escape the Panthers' defense and pressure all game long. Panthers had him in hell.
Give you a little line action. Panthers are -175 favorites tomorrow night in Sunrise. -1.5 on the goal line at +135. If you're looking at tonight's hockey games, Boston, who has a 1-0 lead over Toronto. Boston's a -135 favorite over Toronto. Carolina Hurricanes, -225 favorite over the Islanders. Dallas Stars, a -135 favorite over Vegas Golden Knights. And Edmonton, -165 tonight over the LA Kings.
Huck, I found a Denzel quote. I know you hate Denzel quotes. But what you say
I don't
about-
hate Denzel quotes. I just want to set the record straight. What I hate is that he believes any instance is the proper spot to give a life-changing quote, i.e. outside an elevator with the Heat who just want a picture with the guy from training day. They're not looking for him to change their lives. They have great lives. Take a picture, Denzel. Take a picture. Hey, you like training day? Yeah, it was a great move. Like, you don't have to. No one's waiting on these ridiculous, life-changing quotes. He's accepting an award. Hey, how about you say thanks? It was a great film. Yeah, you know, every time he gets up on stage, got to get, you know, it's, you know, pick your time, pick your place. Doesn't have to be everywhere. Denzel, but go ahead. I digress.
Don't mistake movement with progress. The Dolphins.
That happens to be good. I like that.
The Dolphins, like you're saying, the cutesy stuff. Where
cutesy.
Just jockeying, moving up and down the draft. That's not progress. That's just movement. So, yes, I'll let you take that from Denzel. I'm going to start.
That I like. Yeah. I'm with that.
Yes.
Like me asking a 40-year-old guy how's his grades looking. It's what we do. Once you get locked in, you get locked in.
Crowder was in his element on Saturday at Delaware Chicken Farm. Because I got there and I immediately saw Zach Krantz. And Zach says to me, he goes, Crowder is doing his thing. And I can't, like, I'm in the back of the building. So I haven't even turned the corner to see Crowder. All you can hear is, hey, all right, yeah, yes, indeed, all right. It's just a cavalcade of Crowder BS. It is one of those dessert fountains. It's a fountain of chocolate, but it's just a fountain of bullcrap. He is going from one person to the next. I mean, it is a sight to see, man.
The Panthers game. Hey, we played golf together.
What
was that again?
Sight. Yeah.
Man, that's good. Well, you look good. You lost some weight.
It was fun though. He was cooking up food. First of all, I'd never been to Delaware Chicken Farm before, and we had an excellent time. Everybody was very nice. So he's been talking since I've known Crowder, 8 years, 9 years, about the fish dip at Delaware Chicken Farm. But for me, it's in one ear, out the other. I mean, I promote the, propane tanks. I don't grill. So it's in one ear, out the other. They have the fish dip and the most unbelievable cracker that I've ever tasted in my life. And they have it out there. So, Lori and I get there, take a little bite of this fish dip. Fast forward today, April 22nd, Monday. Guess what I had for lunch? The fish dip. From Delaware Chicken Farm. Some Ritz crackers. Lori and I were like, well, we both got home. We were like, why didn't we buy those crackers? Those were the best crackers I've ever eaten. The fish dip at Delaware Chicken Farm is, I'm not kidding you, the best fish dip I have ever had in my life.
I've been telling you for years. You got to believe me sometimes.
Yeah. It was unbelievably good.
I eat it for dinner. It's a meal.
Everybody loved the Crowder powder. And he had his kids out there, and they were cooking, and they were slinging the chicken tenders, and it was Asia was out there, and there were a ton of people, and it was legit fun. That Crowder powder is a hit.
Yes, well, thank you. We're gonna keep rolling.
You can get it at CrowderPowder.com. I walked out of Delaware Chicken Farm with no Crowder powder, but a thing of fish dip, and two bottles of Tom's barbecue sauce, which they stopped carrying at our Publix. And I couldn't believe it because the Tom's barbecue sauce, forget about the Crowder powder. This stuff on anything is fantastic.
Just disrespectful, Solano. You see what he does?
Incredible.
He does so angry when I walked out of there with two bottles of barbecue sauce.
He got a bag full of barbecue sauce.
And I noticed, Crowder, you got a full set of choppers on you, so nobody went home with one of your teeth, which I would say.
One of the people came up to me and said that they thought they found the tooth in a chicken tender.
Hmm. It was one dude. He actually brought something to stick in his chicken tender to come up to me and mess with me. Yeah, I got so many butt foots and tugboats. There was some lifelong listeners coming out there.
Well, don't worry. I got my my healthy dose of Brother Solana over the weekend everywhere I went.
That was delightful. That was so delightful. Who's that young DJ? What's her name? Marley?
Marley, yeah. DJ Marley.
I think it's Marley. She sent video of Solana Friday getting ready to broadcast that Heat Bulls game, and she's down in the lower bowl, and she gets his attention. Solana's excited. Someone's like, hey. And she's like, Solana. And so he takes his headphones off, and she's like, Brother Solana, how are you? And it hits him. Like, it just hits Solana. She's in on the bit.
How many people do you convert?
How many doors did you knock on? Brother Solana.
Did you accept Jesus as your savior?
I'm on the pickleball court, and I just hear, hey, aren't you Brother Solana? I say, get the hell out of here, man.
We got some listeners. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, we do. All right, gentlemen, speaking of the Miami Heat, they'll play game two Wednesday, 7 p.m. Yesterday did not go as planned for the Heat. It was 14-0 to start the game for the Boston Celtics. Heat cut it to 3, followed by a 22-7 run because Sam Hauser doesn't miss wide-open three-pointers in the corner. The Celtics had it up to 34 at one point. DeLon Wright gets the Heat within 14, but it was already out of reach by then anyways. And the Celtics run away with game one.
Celtics, once again, 14.5 point favorites for Wednesday night. They closed as 14-point favorites. They were at one point as much as 15-point favorites. I think that I'm going to bet the Heat again, plus 14.5. And you may ask yourself, well, what did you see on Sunday?
Yes.
That would lead you to take the Heat plus 14.5. And I just, I don't know. Maybe it's just an unbridled faith in Spo, the Heat culture, the Heat DNA. I understand they're without Jimmy. Do we know about Terry Rozier for Wednesday, or that'll be day by day?
Yeah, I don't think he's playing on Wednesday. Maybe best case scenario, he's back for game three, but I don't think so. It's not looking likely for game two.
Odds, the Celtics to win the series right now are minus 20,000. The Heat are plus 1750. The odds on favorite, minus 180 for the series to end Celtics 4-0. Celtics 4-1 is plus 165. Celtics 4-2 plus 1,000. I don't think it's the worst flyer in the world to take 4-2 or 4-1.
I think 4-1 is, I would bet for plus 165, 4-1. I can see the Heat, you know, the Celtics shooting bad one night and the Heat stealing one.
Yeah, yeah. And there was one game. Listen, you can't judge anything off one game. If you were doing that, you thought the Heat were going to win an NBA championship if you judged it only off one game Friday night against the Bulls, who, by the way, stink.
They were bad.
They stink.
Are we all in agreement that the play-in tournament is just stupid at this point? I mean, the four teams.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I know what you're going to say. It finished where it would be seeded 7 and 8. That's who went on. I get you. I still like it.
But aside from that, by the way, like, I understand it. You keep teams invested in playing. You keep fans and eyeballs on it, and it makes for great TV. So I get it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but because of those two play-in games, you lost Zion Williamson and Jimmy Butler for first-round series or more, two of the best players in the NBA playoffs on two teams that a lot of people wanted to watch because of Zion and because the Heat were in the finals last year, just for the same four teams who were locked into playoff spots anyways to make it. And I get it. In the West Coast, you had Steph Curry and the Sacramento Kings, who a lot of people wanted to watch. But for the Heat to have to go play a below 500 Bulls or Hawks team that have no business making the playoffs, I really think the NBA has to reconsider whether or not it's worth having a play-in tournament.
It's two more games. It's already 82.
Like, if you're so worried about the injuries, then make the regular season 70 games. If you want to, like, you know what I mean? Like, no. If you're so worried about the extra game, take it off the regular season. Give me more postseason.
No, just give me the postseason. Give me the top 8 teams.
Right. Give me more postseason, less regular season.
There's a reason why you play 82 games in the regular season to decide who the top 8 teams are going to be.
Why not make it 70, though?
Because TV revenue is more important than limiting games.
Well, then that's there's your answer for the play-in.
Okay.
You keep four. Obviously more than four, because now you got to get to the 10th seed. So the 11th seed and the 12th seed are excited. So you keep half a dozen more fan bases involved, half a dozen more teams involved. The viewership goes up. Like, you just answered your own question, Solana.
Yeah. And it's two viewership.
82 to 84. Come on, man. If there was two more full series, I could see what you're saying. It's two games.
I'm really sure that the Atlanta Hawks fan base and the Chicago Bulls fan base were just thrilled to keep watching their team, who were below 500, get an opportunity to get blown out by the Miami Heat or the Philadelphia 76ers. Really, I'm sure that was an excellent product for them.
They had a chance to win, though, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you love watching your team play after the regular season is done. Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous take by yourself.
It's not. It's really not. Hey, you have an 82-game regular season. Top eight teams should be in the playoffs. The bottom eight should not be.
How about you
make
it the top six teams are in the playoffs?
Okay, fine. If that's what you want to do.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't want extra games, just make it the top six teams then.
Okay, perfect. Eliminate one of
the
rounds.
Two.
Let's go.
Just go straight to the championship.
All right. Just like I was back in the day. Winner of the East,
because
winner
you
of the
could
West.
Avoid, you could avoid an extra couple of games if you're a top six seed. How about you just do that for your team?
Oh, I'm
instead
fine with that.
Instead of complaining about the 9 and 10 seed who were in there, you know, sullying your team's 8 seed or whatever they were, why don't you just make the 6 seed?
Oh, I'm fine with that as well. The Heat should have handled business. They shouldn't have been in those playing tournament games. They shouldn't have lost to Washington at home. They should have beaten the Philadelphia 76ers and the Pacers. Like, I'm cool with that. If you want to go that route. But don't tell me that Adam Silver sitting back here saying, wow, those two playing tournament games were excellent. We lost Zion Williamson and Jimmy Butler just for the same four teams who were slotted in anyways to end up making the playoffs. Like, it's ridiculous. You're allowing teams to finish the 82-game regular season, now go play potentially two more games just to turn around and get rocked by Boston in the first round, 14-0 to start the game.
How about it gives an extra week for Giannis to get healthy? If there were no play-in games, then Giannis would miss the entire first round.
No, he wouldn't. That's ridiculous. You always, even going back to before the play-in tournament game, the season ends Sunday. The playoffs start over the weekend. They always had those 5 days of rest before the NBA playoffs. Get out of here with that. That's
they
ridiculous.
Get a full week of rest because the playoffs don't start immediately.
The playoffs never started immediately. The playoffs never started immediately, Hawk. Look it up. The NBA season would end on a Sunday. Playoffs would start Saturday. That's how it always was. There was always 5 days of rest in between the end of the regular season and the playoffs starting.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Anyways, Heat, they'll play on Wednesday, Game 2 versus the Boston Celtics. Bam, by the way, finalists for Defensive Player of the Year, along with Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. Hi, mate.
Anybody see the over-under for Dame Lillard yesterday?
What was it?
So he scored 35 points in the first half.
Whew.
Ask me how many points he ended up with.
Not many.
35 points. Guess what his over-under was?
36.
35 and a half. There are people who bet Dame Lillard over 35 and a half because Giannis wasn't playing, so he was going to score all the points, which he did. Who bet Dame over 35 and a half, sat there through halftime, and counted their money. And he never scored another point.
I didn't even watch that game. Did he go cold or he just stopped shooting?
It was a combination of both because he played. It wasn't like they just, you know, took the foot off the pedal. Like, he was out there. He just didn't score another point.
Chris Middleton went off. Chris Middleton, like, he looked like 2021 Chris Middleton. Mid-range game was going. He carried them in that second half. Dame took a couple shots here or there, but he couldn't buy a bucket.
That's as bad a beat as you will ever suffer.
That's sad.
That's crazy.
People that took 35 and a half under were crying at halftime. Crying.
Yep.
The best win you'll ever experience in a lifetime. All right, Marlins begin a 3-game series at Atlanta tonight. Inter Miami did win over the weekend. Here are your NBA games tonight, by the way. Fun weekend of NBA playoffs. All the home teams won, by the way. Tonight, you get Game 2. Cavs hosting the Magic. Cavs won Game 1. Knicks host the Sixers. That's at 7:30. Knicks won Game 1 as well. Any of you guys see Joel Embiid throw a pass off the backboard, yam it home? It was a SportsCenter top 10 play. But once he landed, that was a difficult part for him. He landed, and he had to go straight to the locker room again.
Yeah. Came back out, though.
He did. Yeah, and Lakers-Nuggets game 2 is tonight as well. at 10 p.m. Your weather from the Demesman Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE.
What do you think the odds are the Nuggets win that series? Do you think it's more? Do you think the Nuggets have better or worse odds than the Celtics at -20,000 to beat the Heat?
Worse, for sure.
Yeah, nowhere close to 20,000.
That game one was competitive, honestly.
And ours was not competitive.
Nope, it was not.
Ours was a high school team versus an NBA
team.
Wow.
Nuggets are -650. That's it to win that series.
Lakers had to lead the entire first half. And then, you know, Jokic does what Jokic does. But the Lakers looked like they could be able to steal two or three games, perhaps, if LeBron plays and Anthony Davis play at that level.
Well, I didn't watch any of the Timberwolves Suns game. All I saw was the score. So what is the deal with Kevin Durant?
I've been telling you guys, the Suns are a disaster.
That's KD then, right?
Their offense is Kevin Durant isolation. That's it. And then, Kevin Durant, it's not your turn to run the offense. Devin Booker, come here. Isolation. Come get a screen. Go one-on-one. Oh, Bradley Beal, your turn. Come. Isolation or get a screen. Go one-on-one. Like, that's it. That's their offense. And when those guys aren't knocking down shots, you're not going to beat a really good Timberwolves team who, by the way,
is this going to be a first-round exit for the Suns?
T-Wolves are good, bro. Like, they're no joke. Wow. They're legitimately good.
I saw that score, and I was like, what am I missing here? Like, I Kevin Durant, I thought, was the best player in the league at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just over?
Like Solana said, and the Wolves, they're young. Cat and Davis, Edwards and them boys, they're kids. They run and fly around, and then the Suns lumber down the court. They get the ball and haul ass again. It looks like two different styles of basketball, and the Wolves are playing the style that's going to win this series.
And Anthony Edwards, who, by the way, he said KD's his idol. Like, that's who he grew up loving. He's chirping at KD the whole game. That dude, and Edwards, is a badass. He's going to be the best player in the league soon if he's not already in that conversation. Like, he is legit that type of guy.
He'll try to dunk on anybody.
Bro, anybody.
If you're in the paint, he's headed up there.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. I can't see the Suns winning that series. Like, they'll win a game or two.
Wow.
Because KD is going to go off. Beal will go. Like, there's going to be one game where those three look really good. But that's who you saw in the regular season. They were bad in the regular season. They were not good.
Anything else?
Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy, a little rainy across South Florida. That's your weather.
All right. Billy Lindsay going to join us in the next segment. Talk a little Panthers with him.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
He's calm, collected, has a will to win because his name, of course, is Wade Jones.
Hawk and Crowder. Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Crowder's in Detroit. NFL draft is Thursday, and on the phone is Billy Lindsay. Billy Lindsay's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Billy Lindsay, long NHL career, including many brilliant seasons with the Panthers. He was part of the 95-96 Stanley Cup, the year of the rat. Crowder, one of my favorite sports memories from South Florida, the year of the rat.
I've been well versed about the year of the rat by a number.
I'll tell you what, people who missed the year of the rat, that was a special. Every now and then in sports, any sport, you get like a special season, and the year of the rat was that. Didn't end with the trophy, but it was a special year.
The start of the story is pretty violent, but I enjoy the run of it.
violent on behalf of the rat that got knocked across the locker room. Anyway, Billy Lindsay, you hear him on the Panthers radio broadcast with Doug Plagans. You see him on NHL Network. He's joining us now. Hello, Billy.
How are you guys doing this afternoon? Everything good?
Yeah, you got to feel good, right, about yesterday if you're a Panthers fan or former Panther like yourself, because I think everyone was kind of a little nervous. No matter how good the Panthers were during the season, Tampa just always kind of seems to have their number. So you had to feel good coming off of yesterday's game.
They played well. There was some trepidation. You lost a couple playoff series against Tampa Bay. You seem to have the upper hand going into this series. How's it going to play out? As you mentioned, had that terrific regular season, and they were true to form. They came out and played a really stingy, strong defensive style that Paul Maurice has ingrained into this team. Kucherov, the star on the other team that might be the MVP of the league, they shot him down, made it physical. This Panther team, they're a mean bunch, man. They play angry. It's fun. And when they got that anger, sort of that venom kind of running through their veins, and they're going to commit to the defensive side of the puck, they're a beast to play against. They're hard to play against. They do what they needed to do. They get the game one victory. And the most important thing going into these playoffs, what allowed them to do down the stretch is get everyone healthy. Ekblad was back in the lineup. Carter Verhaeghe came back for game 82. He scored the first game of the playoffs. At the start, you never know how this ends because it's a battle, but they're a pretty healthy group, and they were clicking pretty good in game one.
Billy, I don't know if it hit too close to home because you did play for the Panthers, but is this the best roster they've ever had?
It's up there, for sure. I would agree with that statement. Over the last couple of years, last year, what they did, and even more complete with some more depth this year. You get these Stanley Cup windows for teams. It's nice that we finally got here. You look back at some of the teams that have won over the years with Chicago starting out and then to Pittsburgh and most recently Tampa Bay. But you get when all this core group ages, the Barkov, Ekblads, and some of your star young talent kind of grows up together and you surround it with some really good pieces. Bill Zito, the GM, has done a nice job. So this is, yes, I would agree with that, Channing, that this is our most complete roster. And this is the window. This is 4 years straight in the playoffs. You've probably got another good 3-4 years that this window is going to be open. But when you're in this position, you got to take advantage of it because these moments are fleeting. And we saw them get to the Stanley Cup final last year. But the expectations this year have to be the same thing. Try and get back there and win it again.
You've played for a lot of coaches, Billy, and you've been around a lot of teams, teammates. It seems to me, and I've never played hockey, but it seems to me like Paul Maurice is perfectly suited for this roster. Am I correct in that?
Paul Maurice, he was a head coach at 25 in the NHL. He knows how to adapt over the years. He's been doing it for so long, and he lets this team be themselves. There's a lot of character in that dressing room. Some of it's comical, goofy. Some of it's really serious. There's all kinds of different personalities, but when you bring them all together, they're bought in and they're one. And Paul Maurice has been able to, with all his years of experience and in pro sports, and Channing, you can speak to this, as a professional athlete, as a head coach, with the players, the money that these players make and the different attitudes, you have to be able to tap into 20. It's not like junior or college where you say jump and they say how high. In the NHL, it's why. So you have to have the ability to tap into the reservoir of each player and kind of understand what makes them tick. How do I get this player to go? And it goes all the way down the line. So there might be a different set of rules for different players, or he might be hard on one guy or another guy. I might need to put a little extra love on him. And so Paul Maurice, with all this experience that he's had, has been able to negotiate. He's got a good feel for just letting the personality shine and knowing how to tap into each player and get the most out of them. And when you look at a coach and you look at a season, did they get the most out of their players? Did they maximize their potential? And that's what Paul Maurice has been able to do with this group.
And speaking about that, because you play, you know hockey, you know, better than anybody I know. Do you have to that physical style of play, that Paul Ball is what Josh Chappell, one of the guys that come on a lot, tells us, like Paul Ball, the way he plays, that physical style of play. Speaking of, do you have to acquire that through trade, free agency, draft, or can you teach a guy how to play this style of hockey?
You can show it how it is, but it's up. You have to have the players. Sam Bennett's simply mean. He's nasty. He doesn't like people. he's out there. He's gonna. Matthew Tkachuk is going to be in the middle of everything. He just wants to be in the middle of everything. He's going to be talking trash, doing whatever. It's just part of his style. That stuff can't be taught. It can rub off to other players, but it comes down to if everyone's doing, everyone's working so hard. So the guy beside me is part of that. It can rub off onto some of the other players, and you just realize, okay, I can be physical. I got players that if something happens, that are going to be there to back me up. And when you go from good average to good or good to great is just when you realize that the guy beside you is just giving so much and you're afraid to let your teammate down. There's more of a fear of not what you're going to do and let yourself down. But man, that guy's working so hard beside me. If I play bad tonight, I don't want to let the guy beside me down. And that's kind of what this team has, but that team toughness, that whole style, that's up to the GM and the coach to identify players that kind of fit that role. I would say that's more of just knowing and understanding what kind of personality that they're going to bring to the dressing room, because a lot of teams don't have it. Even Toronto struggled in game one again. That's been their problem for years. Been known as a team that can't really get through the grind at times. So some of it can be taught, but very, very little. A lot of it is just the self nature of the human being, just being being mean. And we got a lot of that on this Panther group. And there's a lot of toughness to go around. One player like Gustav Forsling is not the toughest guy in the world, but as far as fighting, But you put that guy in front of a slap shot, he'll block it, and he'll come back the very next shift. So it's kind of that mindset. There's different kinds of being tough, and this Panther team has all kinds of different players that fit that bill.
Real quick before we run out of time, Billy, we all agree Panthers are stacked, and this could be the season. Which team, though, in the East scares you the most?
If it does end up and it goes to the second round, Boston. Sorry, we got a phone ringing in here. Boston, the way that they play, is going to be another heck of a series. One sec, sorry, apologize. I got to go upstairs. Boston's going to be.
Where you at? NHL Network. Where are you?
No, I just got home from the NHL Network, so I just kind of had some lunch and just walked in my door. My dad is here with us, and he's older, and he's got his ringtone on. It's about as loud as you can hear.
That sounded like a phone from 1983 ringing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But anyway, quickly, I know you're running out of time. The toughest we play Boston in the regular season. They beat us every game, but a couple games went to overtime. Every game's a one-goal game. They want revenge from last year. They've got a style that is very similar to ours. And if we lock horns again against Boston, Carolina's really good on the other side. But if we beat Tampa Bay and Boston beats the Leafs, that Boston Panthers series, it went seven games last year. I would not be surprised if it didn't go seven again this year. If it gets to that point, that's the one team that kind of scares me in the East.
Yeah, that one will be fun as hell. If they match up again, round two, that will be fun as hell. Billy Lindsay, hopefully this goes on for a long time, and we can have you on as the playoffs progress. We appreciate you making time for us, Billy.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great day, and we'll see how it plays out. Appreciate it.
We'll see you there tomorrow. Billy Lindsay, the blonde bomber.
I got my new favorite player.
Who?
Sam Bennett.
The way he described Sam Bennett is so perfect. You know what I was thinking? Because he was talking about how it's one of those teams where you don't want to let your teammate down. Reminds me of the late 80s Hurricanes. Because you hear that all the time from Michael Irvin and Randall Hill, you know, where it was like, didn't matter about the coaches. Gino will tell you, like, didn't matter about the coach. It was, you didn't want to let down your teammates. And when he said that about Sam Bennett, I was thinking to myself, yeah, you know what? I think you are going to put in 100% because apparently you don't want a person who hates humans angry at you.
He was trying to find a way to say it better, but he couldn't. Sam Bennett doesn't like humans. That's my man.
Great. Was a great line.
Get me a jersey. I love that.
All right. 4 o'clock hour is coming up. We'll get some headlines. Look at some of the NBA games for tonight. Do a little 15 minutes of heat. I mean, we got action, Jack.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Crowder, speak the gospel on hockey. Tell him.
Made a puckin' boy.
Hawk and Crowder. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.